I got to fulfill that man that went up by a whirlwind. I'll bring him back. He'll be here. I'm going to get Moses to bring an end to all that law he preached and told the folks to do. I'm going to fulfill all of that. And then I'm going to take you forward. So when you see the breadth, the height, and the width of God, all God wants you to know, I stretch forth the heavens alone. I spread abroad the earth by myself. So when I stood on the cross, my breadth and my height and depth could not be even perceived.
Every Sunday morning from 8 a to 10 a, get the best in golf. News, interviews with golf's great players, game improvement lessons, plus your chance to win great rounds of golf. It's The Golfer's Home with Stephen Gribben, only on 1190 AM.
This is KFXR Dallas with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Welker at the White House. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Japan this morning. He says North Korea could find ready partners in the U.S. and Japan if it would only make good on previous agreements on its nuclear program. NBC's Andrea Mitchell says this is fresh off an agreement with China to help.
In whirlwind meetings with all of China's top officials, Kerry won their commitment to get North Korea to abandon its threats and restart nuclear disarmament talks.
The polls have opened in Venezuela, where a new president will be elected. NBC's Scott Walterman says it'll be the first new leader there in 14 years.
Kristen, Hugo Chavez served as president there for 14 years until his death in March of cancer. So the question before voters, do you continue along that path and elect his hand-picked successor, a lieutenant in his government, or break away completely and choose the challenger, Enrique Caprias?
This is NBC News Radio. Rescue crews will be out again today in Washington State looking for one more person who was snowshoeing when an avalanche hit the mountainside east of Seattle. Here's NBC's Dylan Dreyer.
Survivors talked about how the huge mass of snow dragged them helplessly for 1,000 feet. Some were sunk up to their armpits, others even deeper.
California Democrats are celebrating their success. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi reminded the annual state party convention in Sacramento Saturday that Democrats now hold all statewide offices, control both houses of the California legislature, and more.
We partnered to elect 11 new congressional Democrats to the House of Representatives.
And Brant Snedeker and Angel Cabrera lead the pack going into today's final round of the Masters Golf Tournament. But a number of golfers, including Tiger Woods, are in striking distance. I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
Do you have dry skin, psoriasis? Do you suffer because of the itching, the discomfort, and the pain? People may tell you not to scratch, but they don't understand the torture of living with these conditions. We do. We're Seroderm, and we're introducing our groundbreaking skin treatment to listeners in your area. Seroderm is a new way to reduce the itching and discomfort. It goes directly on your trouble areas. It's non-greasy and non-staining. And if you have dry skin or psoriasis, Seroderm will help stop the itching and flaking so you scratch less. Seroderm is guaranteed to help reduce the pains of your skin condition, even if you've suffered for years, even if you've tried everything else. Call toll-free and we'll rush your risk-free trial of Seroderm. Just call 1-800-503-9626. Don't live with the discomfort another day. Just call 1-800-503-9626. That's 1-800-503-9626. Call 1-800-503-9626.
You would think the Internal Revenue Service would obtain a warrant before it searches through your emails, but the American Civil Liberties Union says that's not necessarily the case. The ACLU reviewed IRS records to find out if it secures warrants before reading people's emails, text messages, and other digital communications, but that review was inconclusive. At issue is whether the law regulating how the government can access emails is outdated. The ACLU says it is because it only protects unopened email or email that's been stored on a server for 180 days or less. That means any email that's been opened or stored for more than 180 days doesn't require a warrant. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures by the government, and in 2010, a court found that the government needs probable cause before asking a service provider to release emails. The ACLU says the IRS read emails without a warrant before that ruling and doesn't believe the Fourth Amendment applies to emails. I'm Jim Ascendio from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
You must be
your fairy godmother.
Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important, especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size to make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Hop in, dear.
Thank you.
For more information, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And together now, we can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, we know that we can.
We'll rope it up,
cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out,
cause we know how to skate.
We'll cut it down,
cause
cut it down.
We know what to eat.
We'll swap it out.
We eat healthy stuff.
Just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your kids healthier. Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day. That's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
So I hear you're the most frustrated man in America.
Oh, do the letters PC mean anything to you?
A PC as in personal computer?
Oh, sure. When your PC's working well, it's personal computer. But my computer is slow, so PC means potentially contaminated, putridly chaotic, purposely cranky.
Well, if you used cleanpcnow.com, you'd be perfectly content.
You want frustrating? Try taking your slow computer to a store or bringing someone into your home to fix it. The right choice? CleanPCNow.com, a new way to keep your computer running at its top speed. First, go to CleanPCNow.com to download a free diagnostic, and in minutes, we can find out what's slowing down your computer. Then, you can easily activate CleanPCNow software to optimize your computer's performance. And with CleanPCNow, there's an honest-to-goodness live person available to answer your questions. Get your free diagnostic today at CleanPCNow.com. Cleaner means faster with CleanPCNow.com. CleanPCNow.com.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
You ask for golf, you got golf. It's time for the Golfer's Home with Stephen Greben. For the next 2 hours, you'll get the best in local, national, and international golf. Interviews from all the tours, the latest inside news, plus a weekly local course review, help on improving your golf game, and our weekly trivia contest, and so much more. So step up to the tee and get ready to keep it in the short grass. It's the Golfer's Home. Here's your host, Stephen Greben.
8:07, Sunday morning. Live from the offices of the Golfer's Home, Fort Worth, Texas, my name is Stephen Greben, and the phone number is 214-787-1190, 214-787-1190. I do that at the top of the show because if you are like me, you're not through talking about this. If you are like me, you need someone to vent to. If you are like me, your therapist is away for the weekend. And so I will be your therapist for golf today as we discuss the situation with Mr. Tiger Woods. We're going to go at it from the top of the show. We're going to go at it from the middle of the show. We're going to go at it from the end of the show. And we're going to throw in a little Brant Snedeker, Angel Cabrera, and Charlie Epps. And if you don't know that name, you need to. And who do you think will win this Masters? 214-787-1190. Pick up the phone, call us, give us your opinion of what went on. Everybody else sure stepped in yesterday. Sir Nick Faldo, David Duval, Brandel Chamblee, John Cook, all suggesting Tiger should have disqualified himself. First of all, he can't disqualify himself, folks. He cannot disqualify himself. He can withdraw.
but he cannot disqualify himself. To take us through the beginning and the middle, I went to the one man I know, I trust when it comes to rules. He is the executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship. He is Mr. John Drago. Morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Just how many times did your phone ring yesterday morning about 9:30?
It rang quite a bit. I actually just got a text while I was on hold with you from a guy in Cleveland that was playing with his group, wanted to know if I could text him my thoughts. So it's still going on a little bit. Obviously drawing a lot of interest.
Okay, so the process, and I want to explain to our listeners just the process. Tiger Woods hit a shot on 15 on Friday. It hit the stick. It rolled back into the water. Not straight back from where he was hitting his ball, but off towards the left. The pin was in the front left. Tiger Woods then had three choices, correct?
That's right.
So explain to the listeners the three choices.
Yeah, it's a regular water hazard, so it's marked in yellow, which gives him three options. Since the ball in its original position is not playable, he can go to the drop zone that they had marked, which he didn't like. He could take that point where it last crossed the margin of the hazard, where you mentioned where it had ricocheted left. So he could take that point, keep it between him and the hole, and go back as far as he wanted to, which would have taken him back on a line kind of the left side of the fairway.
Right, and the important thing to note is that, and that pin was front left, and he did not feel comfortable going to the drop zone or going back on that line because it was just no place for him to put the ball, basically, in terms of where he would have landed on the green.
That's right, and his original shot was from 87 yards, and his third option is he could play from the place where he last played outside the water hazard, which would have been where he hit his third shot from.
Okay, now, here is the question, and I want to understand the exact reading of the rule, because if I'm reading the rule properly, basically there's no one in the history of golf who has done step three properly, because in all in essence purposes, shouldn't he have to drop the ball into his divot?
That's absolutely correct. He should play it as nearly as possible from the spot from which the original ball was last played.
Right. It doesn't say as close. It says as nearly. So for all intents and purposes, no one in the history of golf has ever played by the rule, which is drop it where it last played from, which is in a divot.
That's absolutely correct. And if you think about it, if you actually hit a good shot, the perfect place to drop it is right behind a divot, because you're going to hit the ball, then make your divot, then move on. However, you know, the way that most of the time it happens is you hit a shot, you walk up, you look for it, you've probably gone 100 yards, 200 yards, whatever, you come back, you go, I think it was right around here, so you estimate that spot, and there's a condition in the rule book where if you don't know the exact spot from which you played it from, how you determine it, but once you've made that estimation, that becomes your spot.
Correct.
You drop it, everybody moves on, everybody's happy. With TV, The fact that his caddy never left the area, even though Tiger did go walk around, the spot was pretty clear where he had hit his original shot from. That's what kind of drew all the controversy.
Okay, so then he chooses
the round as well.
Right, he chooses to drop the ball. He does, in fact, drop it behind approximately 2 yards behind the place he hit the first shot from, and hits the shot. Somebody says something later on, the Augusta National Committee, or the Rules Committee. And can you explain the difference between the two? Augusta National members have nothing to do with what goes on during the play of the round, correct?
Well, there are Augusta National members who are members of that Rules Committee. Fred Ridley, who gave the...
Right.
Is the chairman of the Competitions Committee. He's an Augusta National member. And there are several members on that committee. But the rules committee for that week is really made up of people from Augusta National, the USGA, the PGA, the European Tour, the PGA Tour, big conglomeration of rules officials.
Okay. But these guys are all rules officials, per
Absolutely.
Se. They're not just members of the club.
Absolutely correct.
Okay. So they look at it, and they choose, while Tiger's playing 18, to say, not an issue. Didn't cause an issue. We're going to move forward. Tiger signs his card. Now, this is where I have an issue, And I have an issue on two levels, John. Okay, so then Tiger does his interview, and he did say during the interview that he went back a couple feet because he wanted a different shot and wanted to make sure he didn't hit the stick again. And I think he was saying it tongue-in-cheek, which is Tiger, and most people don't get his sense of humor. He was saying it tongue-in-cheek, yeah, I'm moving exactly 5 feet because then I know I won't hit the stick. I mean, that's a pretty cool thought just to begin with. But somebody takes that wrong on television, realizes that he did drop the ball incorrectly. Now, he had signed his scorecard. The night goes on. Saturday morning, he gets a call from his manager, Lee Steinberg, who says, you need to talk to Fred Ridley. And they meet, and a two-stroke penalty is assessed. Now, take us through the rule that was changed 2 years ago regarding disqualification, so players can understand, so our listeners can understand that he didn't break any rules in not withdrawing or in him not being DQ'd, correct?
Absolutely correct. I had the same thing a lot of people asking about. He should withdraw himself and do the right thing. And you know, it's just not the case. Players' responsibility is to report the facts of what happened and accept whatever ruling the committee. We always put the committee with a capital C in the rule book, you'll notice. Because their decision is final. So all he's got to do is whatever they tell him to do. And he did that, and that was his only responsibility. He had no reason to withdraw because of their ruling.
But the go ahead. I'm sorry.
The rule that waives the disqualification penalty, if you will, is 33-7, which basically gives the committee, again, the right to waive a disqualification penalty in exceptional individual circumstances.
Right.
So the exceptional individual circumstance in this case, I think, is pretty clear, to be honest. I think
Absolutely.
Everybody wishes they had talked to Tiger before he signed his card. But remember, there was a rules official on 15, maybe 20 yards left of where he dropped. So
right.
He watched the procedure. Didn't look like anything was wrong. Obviously didn't hear anything that was said. They looked at the tape while he was playing the last three holes. Looked like that he had gotten it pretty much in the right place. No intent discussed. So they determined nothing was wrong. So at that point, they decided it was okay. Didn't want to talk to Tiger after the round. Had they done that, he probably would have said the same thing. I got an extra 2 yards. They penalized him 2 strokes right there in the scoring trailer. And none of this would have happened yesterday.
Correct.
So looking back, they probably wish they had done that. But the fact that they didn't and they had made that determination, they felt was an exceptional enough circumstance to waive the disqualification penalty, which would have been for signing a wrong scorecard at that point because he hadn't included the penalty.
All right, here is my issue, and I need you to help me through it so I can start sleeping again. And I don't know which particular order to put him in, so let's just talk about him. Number one, this whole thing about people calling from watching on TV, I think is absolutely unfair just because of the fact, especially at an event like a major where you have rules guys on every single hole. Now, you don't have that at a PGA Tour event, and I understand that. But at a major, there is at least one rules official on every hole, correct?
That's correct. And at Augusta, there's several holes with more than one.
Correct. Okay. So having said that, this is not like a tour event where a player may forget to do something or something and somebody calls in. But having said that, you're dealing in an issue here. I don't remember who it was on the LPGA said this recently that, you know, Tiger Woods is on TV four times as much as anybody else. So he's four times as likely to have somebody make a phone call. I don't think that that's rationally fair. Am I totally out of line with that or not?
No, I agree with you. I think we as rules officials feel, in a stroke play event like that, feel that it is our responsibility to protect the field regardless of how we hear about a potential infraction. So it could be someone from one of the patrons. It could be a spectator. It could be someone that calls in. I mean, obviously I'm not there and I haven't spoken to the people that are there yet, but from what I think I heard is this was literally somebody who called their friend that was on the rules committee.
Correct.
That had seen it on TV. It wasn't like they called the tournament office or whatever. And Fred said in his interview yesterday, you know, it happens at every tournament a lot.
Right.
At the majors, it happens, you know, 10 or 15 a year probably at the PGA Championship or the Masters. And normally it's just that. They look at it. Nope, there was somebody right there. It was all handled fine. This one just, as you know, because of Tiger's interview afterwards, got more complicated and had to be corrected. Once a rules official hears about a potential infraction, regardless of how he hears about it, he has a duty to find out what happened, get the facts, and make a decision.
Right. Okay, and I accept all that. I just don't think that we should deal with phone calls. But that's my personal opinion. Now let's go to part two, which is the part that is even more aggravating. This is a professional sport, just like the Big Four. Earlier this year, a guy lost a perfect game because an umpire made a really bad call at first base. After the game, the call was, he felt so bad about it, he literally went into the clubhouse and apologized to the pitcher for the bad call. But it's human.
That's right.
Where did golf come up with the ability that a guy has signed a scorecard, there was nothing incorrectly done at that moment because the rules committee had, in fact, even looked at it, which makes my point even more clear, and said, we're not going to do anything, everything is fine. He signed his scorecard. Why is that not the end of this, John? Where in golf does it say we can wait until the cash is sent that's the close of a tournament? I'm sorry, I don't get this. You know, guys make mistakes. Can we change a Super Bowl on Monday because a guy realized that he made a bad ruling on something? An official made a bad ruling, so now we're going to change the outcome of a Super Bowl game? I don't get this, that the guy signed the scorecard, it should be over with.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that agree with you, and I actually had used that similar analogy with someone that was arguing with me yesterday that he should have withdrawn himself I can't remember who was pitching the other night for the Rangers. He got the horrible call for a strike at the end of the game to win Joe Nathan. And, I said, was he supposed to go tell him? No, that wasn't. We're going to keep playing. You've got to accept the ruling of the committee or the umpire in that case. And basically, it's in the rule book, Stephen, is where it is. So it has to be a change in the rules. It talks about the close of competition, and it has to be listed in the conditions of the competition for each tournament. And I think the USGA does it when they award the trophy on the 18th green. That's where most tournaments call the close of the competition. So any rules infraction that happens between the beginning of the competition and the close of the competition has to be addressed. Once the competition is closed, if all this had come out after Sunday's round and after they had awarded the trophy, then obviously we wouldn't be having this discussion either because the tournament's over.
Does there come a point, because of social media, because of how fast news happens today, that it may be time for the RNA and the PGA of America, or I'm sorry, the USGA, to look at updating rules more often than once every 4 years? And I'm sorry, we're talking to John Drago, the executive director of the HP Byron Nelson Championship, in case you joined us late. We're talking about the Tiger Woods situation. We're going to talk about a 14-year-old situation in just a second, but I wanted to reintroduce you, John, in case people are signing in late, and you have been a rules official for a lot of years also.
Yeah, thank you. Your question, I think, was about how often they...
Right now you change rules every 4 years, correct?
That's correct. They change the actual rules of golf once every 4 years. And I don't know. I tend to disagree with that. I think, the rules are so complicated. If they were changing more frequently, it would probably get even harder.
I hear you. Okay.
You've also, with the anchoring thing, it takes a long time to change a rule. And they do change the interpretations of the rule once every 2 years in what we call the decisions on the rules of golf. So there is an ability to make some changes in between that period if they need to.
I really, really appreciate you stepping up on this. I do want to get real quickly into what happened with the 14-year-old Chinese young man, Mr. Guan. And somebody in the know, John, and let's explain very quickly the difference here for our listeners to understand. At a PGA Tour event, he would not have been given a stroke penalty. He would have just, had he been a member, if it was a PGA Tour player, he would have just been fined, correct? You never would have known about the fact that he got hit for slow play.
For that type of an offense, yes.
Okay, so
I don't work very many PGA Tour events. I work mostly majors or PGA professional events.
Right.
I believe the tour, the weekly tour events, they get fined, and it would literally have to be a a number of violations before they would actually
receive them. So you never would have even known about his slow play if this was a regular PGA Tour event. Now, having said that, my understanding is that the rules officials on the Wednesday of Augusta that they meet, they go through everything with players, they hand out the information and everything else. So the players know that once you're put on the clock, just speed up a little bit. And every player knows that, right?
That's right.
I was told by somebody who I really respect that he's going to put some of the responsibility on this young man getting a penalty, actually, on Ben Crenshaw. Because Ben knew the rules. He's a PGA Tour player. And why wouldn't he have gone over to Guan and said, hey, bud, we're on the clock. You need to make your shot in 40 seconds. And I thought that was a really interesting point, because the chances are that this young man did not know the rule, correct?
Well, I can say, you know, he gets the rule. I don't know how good his English.
Right.
Part of the problem is the language barrier with him as well, I'm sure. But he spoke pretty good English in his interviews.
Yeah, he sure does.
But he gets the pace of play policy prior to the start of the competition. He gets it every day at the first tee with his local rule sheet and his hole location sheet and so forth. I can guarantee, I know John Paramore very well, the rules official
right.
from the European Tour that gave him the penalty. When they were told they were out, off the clock on 10, I'm sure he explained it to him. When they told him on 12, and when he got his first bad time, I guarantee you John Paramore said, if you get one more bad time, you're going to be penalized. You have 40 seconds to play your shot from the time that you're there and ready to play.
Right.
He is less experienced, obviously, than other players of knowing kind of when that 40-second starts,
right?
How to maybe stall a little bit like some players can by sending their caddy forward to do something before they actually get there, realizing how distractions play into that, knowing that if
right.
you change clubs, your clock is still running. It's not just the time you're standing over the ball. My guess is it was just one of those, he was early in his career and didn't quite
right.
understand it, knew that he had some issues and decided it was more important to go through his routine, and I don't know. Everybody was frustrated by it.
And frustration comes into the fact that it was a six-hour round. I mean, Tiger played in just about 6 hours that day also. So it's all pretty interesting. John, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes this morning. I know how busy you are. How many days till the tournament?
27.
And we can get our tickets how?
HPBNC.org is the easiest way, or you can call the office at 214-943-9700.
And there's something new happening this year, a VIP situation?
That's right. We've got a great new ticket called the Capital One Clubhouse. So it's for the person that doesn't really want to do private hospitality, doesn't want to buy just a general grounds ticket, maybe wants to take a date and do something a little bit more upgraded, or take a couple of buddies and... And we've got two locations on 17 and 18 with this ticket for $150. You get private access to these areas as well as complimentary beer, soda, water all day long.
Wait a minute. For $150, you're going to lose money on that deal the way the people around here drink.
I very well might. You're right. We're going to catch
Hey, John, I can't thank you enough for coming on. Thank you for explaining what happened. I get so flustered by guys like Nick Faldo. He no more would have withdrawn from this tournament than the man in the moon, but yet he's going to tell somebody else to withdraw. I just think it's unbelievable what's gone on in the last 24 hours. We've seen some real sides of a lot of people that we've grown to know and love on television over the last few years.
Completely agree with you. I think sometimes people forget what it's like to be in the heat of competition and to be the athlete in the situation.
Absolutely. John Drago, thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next Sunday as we get closer and closer to the HP Byron Nelson Championship, bud.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome. All right. Step aside real quick. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Tim Cusick and talk to him about what happened and about Augusta as he took his 12-year-old son to Augusta for the first time. He's on a plane coming back. We'll talk to him next. I'm Stephen Gribben. This is The Golfer's Home, 214-787-1190. What's your feeling about the Tiger Woods issue? Call us now. Bye.
Enter- Entertainment Time, Sundays from 4 to 6 on 1190 AM. I'm Mondo Mike, along with
Big Kenny, number one rated wine czar.
And this is CraveDFW.com's food editor, Stephen Doyle.
We're going to talk about burgers, wine, cigars, girls, well, maybe girls, but right here, Sundays, 4 to 6 on 1190 AM.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Would you like to know how to become 3 times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're 3 times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about $1 a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-520-9138 will receive a free upgraded two-way voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card.
Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138.
As many as 7.5 million Americans have psoriasis, and many of them suffer in silence, hiding their itching, flaking, and discomfort. If you're living with psoriasis, your new life begins now when you call for a risk-free trial of Seroderm. Seroderm provides fast topical relief of skin psoriasis. Seroderm helps to stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by your psoriasis. Even if you've tried everything else, even if you've suffered for years, imagine living without discomfort and embarrassment and without wearing long clothes to hide your psoriasis. We're so confident you'll love your skin after using Seroderm that we're offering it risk-free. But you have to call now.
Just call 1-800-467-7912. That's 1-800-467-7912. Try Seroderm risk-free. Just call 1-800-467-7912. That's 1-800-467-7912.
Hey, this is Bernadette.
And this is Dr. Jeremy Webster. You are an individual, and what works for your neighbor may not work for you. So get to know your body inside and out.
So tune in to One Life Radio, weekday mornings at 10, right here on 1190 AM.
Hi, I'm Jim LeCamp.
And I'm Pat Riddell, co-host of Money Sense at the Opening Bell.
Are you fed up with the endless, relentless arguments about bull market, bear market, trading range market, deflation, hyperinflation, and all the other chatter that leaves you on the sidelines, earning nothing, nada, zip?
Well, we have good news for you. There are opportunities in a highly uncertain environment like this if you know where to look. Let us help you. We'll show you how non-traditional investments can help you uncover uncommon returns.
Give us a call, 800-841-5388,
or log on to money-sense.com.
And it's the Golfer's Home, 1190. I'm Stephen Gribben. Last week on this show, just so you know, John Drago just texted me. And he said he picked Jason Day to win this week. My three picks in my triangle were Adam Scott, Steve Stricker, and Tiger Woods. And all three are playing okay. And then and my other one, I had Sergio, because I just love Sergio. I had somebody who was at the end of the pack. I don't remember who it was. I've already dropped that group from my mind. Oh, Justin Rose. Brant Snedeker, big surprise. All right, so about to get on a plane to come back to California, to Texas. He is the director of instruction at the Four Seasons Golf and Resort, and he is Tim Cusick. Morning, Timmy.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am sitting in the Atlanta airport, a rather noisy and busy Atlanta airport, waiting to head back to Dallas.
Okay, so as someone who was on the grounds yesterday, let's talk about what it was like as you were on the grounds and the buzz started to go around about the situation that went on with Tiger Woods. Was it the talk of no matter where you were?
No, it's interesting you say that because I didn't follow Tiger yesterday. My son and I followed his favorite man, Ricky Fowler, who was about four or five groups in front, sat on the range for a long time in the morning time. And I did not know until I got back into my car late yesterday afternoon, what happened. Because my phone was blowing up when I turned it on about, you know, should he withdraw, should he not withdraw. And I had to get back to a TV to see what everyone was talking about.
So basically, as you walked the golf course with about 35,000 other people, nobody else was talking about it there. That's interesting. Or you didn't overhear anybody talking about it.
I had no idea. That I found it weird that he never made it to the leaderboard yesterday. I mean, obviously, they'll find any way to put him on the leaderboard. But found it weird that he wasn't on the leaderboard. Figured he must not have been playing very well. Obviously, cell phones out there, no communication whatsoever that you can have on the grounds, and I had no idea what transpired yesterday morning.
Amazing. I wondered about that. I wondered if it was the talk around the golf course, because people tend to get there relatively early to put their chairs up and everything else, and I guess just a lot of people didn't realize what was going on. It sure is the media who's gone crazy about this thing. You've had the time to now know about it. Do you have any feelings about it?
Oh, he certainly broke the rules. And, you know, his press conference, was the tipping point. I actually saw the shot. I was sitting in the bleachers, directly in line with Tiger, the pin, and I was in the bleachers on 16 and saw him hit the shot, saw it hit the pin, saw it go in the water, saw a very despondent Tiger Woods walk around for a little bit. When he walked over to the drop circle, I lost sight of him because the bleachers on the left side of 15 prohibited me from seeing him. Then he came back, took his drop, hit an incredible shot, made his cut, and walked over to 16.
Was there any sense as you walked around yesterday? Did you get a chance to see the 14-year-old Mr. Guan, and did you get a chance to watch him play at all? And how impressed were you by his play?
I saw him hit balls yesterday morning, warming up. It looked like his father, obviously his caddy, his father was helping him with his golf swing. He was hitting balls right next to Phil Mickelson. Drastically different clubhead speeds, very long and deliberate swing by, Mr. Guan. And he hit it rather straight, but when his swing got a little flat in the backswing, he had a tendency to hook it. But very, very, you know, stoic face, not much conversation between them. And I know when he walked off the driving range and walked through the autograph signing area for kids only, he told the kids, "I don't sign autographs, I'm sorry."
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Maybe
wonder
he feels
about
like
that.
He's not old enough to sign autographs.
Exactly.
Yet.
So talk about, you took your son for his birthday to Augusta. Talk a little bit about how it was for your son, his first experience at Augusta.
Well, we had obviously a very, very good time. Friday afternoon, we had walked the golf course a couple times and had followed Ricky Fowler, sat in the bleachers for a little while on 16, watching groups come through. And then when when Ricky's group came through, we went to the back of the tee because we were getting ready to follow him in, and Carson was to the side, and we saw Ricky dump in the water there, walked the course the rest of the way, got in our car, and again, my phone's blowing up that Carson was on TV when Ricky hit his shot. So,
oh, that's Ricky, great.
Ricky's holding his finish, and he was front and center on the telecast, he and Ricky Fowler. So we had a great time. It was an unforgettable experience. The golf course, obviously, spectacular, and it should be a wonderful finish today.
It really should. And what I really love about this whole Tianlang Guan situation, it's very kind of cool for him in that Thursday and Friday he plays with Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. And now today he's playing with Sandy Lyle. I mean, can you get any more education on Augusta than he's gotten 3 out of 4 days? How cool is that for this 14-year-old?
It's his experience is absolutely incredible. My understanding is that he's been in Augusta for about a month, and Augusta National has allowed him to practice 2 or 3 times a week each week, and then he practiced at local golf courses around the area preparing. And my son just told me that he did say he would sign autographs after he finished, but not beforehand.
Interesting. You know, for the listeners to understand how strict this whole policy is, now, I never got picked in the media drawing. They have a media drawing every year, and a certain number of guys get to play the course on Monday. And you get handed this sheet that says you can show up 1 hour before your tee time. And they mean 1 hour, because if not, you'd be there all day just hunting around, looking around, doing all that stuff. And they're very specific in their rules. So the fact that they let him come out there is pretty unusual and very kind of cool. We were told, you know, we're allowed to come out. If I'd ever won the lottery, I would have teed off around noon and I would have gotten there at 11 o'clock. And I would go, you change in the same clubhouse as Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, and everybody else. And I've never won the lottery to see that, but it's pretty cool that he's been there that long.
Yes, I found that very interesting. Obviously, as someone that's in the field, they allow the players, the amateurs that win the USAM or runner-up, mid-AM winners, to come in advance. They have to be with a member. A member has to be on property. A member has to play with them. And same with a tour professional, too, that is in the field, that there has to be a member on property. That was my understanding this week, is the reason why they've got 30 to 40% of their membership local is to help take care of that specific regulation in and of itself.
Now, quick question. Is every winner of Augusta an automatic member or not? Or do they have to be given a membership?
No, my understanding is once you get that green jacket, just like every other member that's at Augusta National, they wear their green jacket that week. They have to wear their green jacket the week of the tournament. They are required to be on property for the tournament, that they become a member of Augusta National.
Interesting. Did you guys go in? Now, you got there Friday, so did you go in and did you do your shopping Friday, or did you get the chance to go into the merchandise tent?
Did our shopping Friday night. The last two groups of the day Friday, Tiger Woods group was the second last group, Ricky Fowler's group was the last group, and there was still 15 or 20,000 people that were out on the golf course. So we went and checked the range out to see if anyone was hitting late in the day, which they weren't. Went into the merchandise tent, got our stuff, and then let the traffic go, and we left late Friday night. Got there yesterday morning. Probably, I think Bubba teed off at 9:30. We got there about 9, and there was already, I would say there was 30,000 people on the grounds at that time, and no one was even on the course yet.
Exactly, and that's the way it is. When you get there early, the lines are there, and people who have come for years, they know. They bring their chairs. They get there long before, so they're in the front of the line. They run out to their place of choice to put their chair. They go put their chair, and then they go walk around until people start to get, especially at Amen Corner, the people who put their chairs right behind number 12 have been doing that for years, and they're there an hour before the gates open.
I'll tell you one thing I saw that was interesting. Friday afternoon when we were sitting in the bleachers on 16 grandstands, I shouldn't say the bleachers, the grandstands, there was a gentleman that I think got to the concession stand one too many times and was causing some problems. A security officer came, took him out of the grandstand, looked at his badge, pulled out his notebook, wrote down his badge number, walked him to the exit, took his badge. He was gone. That badge will be revoked.
Wow.
And if it was not that person's badge and it was a member's badge, that person would lose that badge.
Right.
Very
amazing.
No messing around there.
All right. You enjoy your flight back. We'll see you next Saturday. Thanks so much for taking the time to report from the Atlanta airport.
Appreciate it, Stephen. Have a good day.
You too. Say congratulations to your son. That's so awesome. He's got something to watch forever now.
Will do. Bye-bye.
All right. Next up, we'll go through the entire leaderboard. We'll give you tee times and so much more here on The Golfer's Home. I'm Stephen Gribben, broadcasting live from The Golfer's Home offices in Fort Worth, Texas, 1190 AM.
If you were to win $50,000, you could make your wildest fantasies come true. You could go to Secret Agent Spy School and become the next 007.
Pleased to meet you, Mr.
Puffkin. Skeeter Puffkin.
Or I suppose you could use it for something boring like paying your mortgage. But before any of this happens, you have to win $50,000. So listen up and find out how. Be listening for the Cue to Text keyword. When you hear it, text that keyword to 36500 to get registered. You'll win $1,000 just for qualifying for the 50K. And that ain't bad. It's an ultimate iHeartRadio experience. Winning $50,000 to waste on whatever you want. It's like finding a whole bunch of change under a couch cushion. A gigantic couch cushion. So get your texting thumb ready for action and keep it here for the keyword that could make you 50 grand happier. Good luck.
Come celebrate the start of the new golf season and the big tournament at Golfsmith's major sale. Save up to 60% on select items like the TaylorMade R11S Fairway Wood for only $119.98, plus free gift card and two for deals. Come experience a store built by golf experts for all golfers, where you can swing it, putt it, and love it before you buy it. Hurry into Golfsmith for the major sale and save up to 60% today, because it only lasts for a limited time. See golfsmith.com for a store near you.
Discovering your family's roots at Ancestry.com takes you on a journey back into time. If you found a relative in the immigration records, imagine what other family history can be unlocked. Untold stories can be found when you access historic census and military records. Browse family trees and connect with distant relatives all through Ancestry.com. And right now, Ancestry.com is extending a very special limited-time offer. For 2 weeks only, they're offering an unprecedented discount on all Ancestry.com memberships when you enter the discount code BECK at checkout. Whether you're looking to explore U.S. documents or access their extensive international records, it's all included during this special offer. Don't delay. Visit Ancestry.com and enter the discount code BECK at checkout for your exclusive discount. This offer is only valid with the discount code BECK and expires soon. Don't wait. Visit Ancestry.com today. That's Ancestry.com.
Isn't it amazing how busy your friends suddenly become when you tell them you're moving? Sorry, my mom's coming to town. I'm getting my teeth whitened. Hey, sorry, listen, man, I can't really think of an excuse, but I can't. Moving is hard, and finding people willing to help you move, well, that's even harder. So while you beat the bushes trying to find a friend who won't lie to your face, you should know that at least Reliant has your back. We'll help connect you with electricity and all kinds of energy-saving tools, as well as phone, cable, internet, all with one call. And what we won't give you is a lame excuse like, sorry, man, my pickup truck is the kind that doesn't haul stuff. To learn more, call 1-866-RELIANT or visit Reliant.com. Welcome to Reliant. How can we help you?
For more information, visit Reliant.com/moving, KCT number 10007.
The Dallas Take Steps for Crohn's and Colitis Walk will be held Sunday, April 28th at Main Street Garden. The festival starts at 3:30. The walk starts at 5 p.m. Take steps to find a cure at ccfa.org and click on events.
This is Tom O'Brien. You can catch my program, The Tom O'Brien Show, live Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m., where I'll break down the day's market action and take your calls and questions right here on KFXR 1190 AM.
It is the Golfer's Home Sunday morning, Masters week. It could be Masters history. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that three players in the last groupings are from a country called Australia, where there has never been a winner of the Masters in 74 years. There has never been an Australian winner. Today, at 1:40 our time, Angel Cabrera and Brent Snedeker will tee it up. At 1:30, Mark Fleishman, Australian, Adam Scott, Australian, will tee it up. At 1:20, Jason Day, Australian, and Matty Kuchar will tee it up. And at 1:10, Tim Clark, who had the round of the day yesterday, 67, so it is possible, and Tiger Woods will tee it up. And at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock our time, Ricky Fowler, Steve Stricker will tee it up. Then at 12:50, Bernard Langer and Lee Westwood will tee it up. It looks, the leaderboard looks like this, as I'm sure you know, going into today. Keegan Bradley has, I would assume, just teed off or just about to tee off. Brant Snedeker and Angel Cabrera are both 7 under par, both shooting 69 yesterday, as did Adam Scott. He is at 6 under. At 5 under par, Mark Fleishman, who shot even par yesterday, who's hanging by a thread, but he is hanging in there after his first round of 66. He shot 66, 73, 72. He is at minus 5, along with Jason Day, who unfortunately bogeyed 17 and 18 yesterday to fall out of a tie for the lead and ended up shooting 1 over par. Through the first, God, I want to say 15 holes. I have to look. Hold on a second. Jason Day literally had parred every single hole yesterday. Through round three, he had parred every hole going into 13. He made a birdie at 13. He then made pars at 14, 15, and 16. So out of the first 16 holes, he had a bogey-free round and unfortunately bogeyed 17 and 18. You know, I got in a discussion with some friends of mine yesterday about that. I don't think I've ever done it. I've thought about it all night long, thinking about it, and I don't think I've ever done it. And that is make 18 pars. I think making 18 pars may be harder than just about anything else that's done. I've never done it. I know a lot of really good players who have never done it. We were discussing it yesterday. 18 pars has got to be incredibly hard to do. All right. And then at 4 under, Matty Kuchar. At 3 under, you've got the group of Tiger Woods and Tim Clark. And then at 2 under par, it's Fowler, Stricker, Bernard Langer, Lee Westwood, and Jim Furyk. And I think that's as far back as we need to go. Sergio Garcia, after his opening round 66, shot 76, 73 to be at 1 under par. So that's your leaderboard. I do want to give you one other leaderboard because it's important to note, folks, that on the web.com tour, local Edward Lohr is one shot clear of Nick Flanagan. And in Midland, Texas, Edward Lohr going for his second victory in a row. In a row. Eddie Lohr, he shot 63 yesterday to get to minus 15. Also, again, on the leaderboard, as it just seems to be every week. And one of these weeks, he's going to finish a round. He is Danny Lee. He's tied for fourth at 12 under par. They're playing in Midland, Texas at the Midland Country Club. That is the web.com tour. But Eddie Lohr is going for his second win in a row. Pretty cool for Ed Lohr. As I said, I want to read you some of these. these quotes. To me, this doesn't take any time or consideration. If he doesn't disqualify himself, this will cast a dark shadow over the entire day of golf, over this entire event, but more importantly, over his entire career for the rest of his life. Can you guess who that was?
Nick Faldo?
That was Brandel Chamblee. Unbelievable. Further, the integrity of the sport is bigger than the desire to see Tiger Woods play golf. I want to see Tiger Woods play golf. I've never seen anybody play golf like him. I want to see him make a run at Jack's record, just not today. Nick Faldo. He should really sit down and think about this and mark this, and the mark this will leave on his career, his legacy, and everything. As Faldo, I think Tiger would gain massive brownie points if he stood up and said, you know, you're right, guys. I clearly have broken the rules, and I'll walk. I'll see you next week. John Cook. Even if they said you can play, I would go slam my trunk. Ultimately, I would slam my own trunk. There are words I can use right now that would throw me off the air forever. There is no way in the world that John Cook, Nick Faldo, or even as bad a golfer as Brandel Chamblee was, would ever have withdrawn from Augusta because of what happened. And I can't even believe that these guys are saying these things. I know Tiger brings out the best and the worst in people. He does that. But Tiger did not do anything wrong. And the fact that he joked about it after the round is the part that tells me he wasn't thinking about it. The fact that there were rules officials there, not 20 feet from him. If there is blame to be made here, it's on Augusta National. They were the ones who reviewed this on Friday and made the choice to say, no problem. And once that happened, his need to withdraw got taken out. Taken out. Had that part not happened, had this happened Saturday morning, I guarantee you he would have been disqualified. He would have been. He's no different than any other player, just like giving a 14-year-old a stroke penalty for time delay. Do you think that Augusta National and the Rules Committee wanted to give a 14-year-old Chinese kid a one-shot penalty? Come on, guys. We're just going over the edge with some of this stuff. And I know that we've got to fill 24/7 of sports talk. But anybody who says Tiger should have disqualified himself, first of all, doesn't know the rules because he can't disqualify himself. But secondly, there's no way he was going to withdraw. Not after he was given the whole situation by Fred Ridley. And no matter what happens today, he stood up. He told the truth, and that's all a player is responsible for doing. He told exactly what he did, and he should be rewarded for saying that this is what he did, rather than being thrown to the wolves by people like John Cook, Sir Nick Faldo, and the great Brandel Chamblee, at least in his own mind. I'm at a loss to understand where this comes from. Even Nota Begay, one of Tiger's best friends, had this to say on how he viewed the original incident and what how he thinks Tiger should proceed. I do think when I've looked at the video that the drop wasn't as close as it needed to be. It wasn't even in the vicinity of where it needed to be in accordance with the rules. That would be a pending disqualification, but I guess through some decision and process the Augusta National has gone through, they came to this resolution, and I think Tiger's probably going to play today and do his best to put it behind him. That's exactly what Tiger did. In this particular case, whether it's the right decision or the wrong decision, is it a decision handed down by the committee? And I think we should respect that decision. That's the most important point. As John Drago said, the rules committee at any tournament is in a capital C. They are the final say. And while I disagree vehemently with people calling in from TV and all the rest of those things, you know, we don't get to call in from TV when there's something at an NFL game that we know is wrong. I'm at a loss. Now, having said all that, the other side is, and Matt Adams said this game is really hard. It's really hard. And I think sometimes we make it harder than it needs to be. It's supposed to be fun, even on this level. It's supposed to be fun. And yes, we play by the rules, but that's what the man did. And we'll see what happens today. It's going to be hard for him to come back from four shots.
He never has.
But, no, he's never come from behind ever. So we will see what happens. But that's up next. Next up, Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel will join us. Uncle Ryan will join us. And we'll talk more golf and the Masters here on the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. Secretary of State Kerry has arrived in Japan after meeting with Chinese leaders about North Korea. NBC News Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel reports Secretary of State John Kerry's visit with the Chinese appears to have resulted in some agreement.
The U.S. and China appear to be getting on the same page regarding North Korea, both sides saying that there should be a resumption of negotiations, that there should be work to denuclearize North Korea. North Korea, however, says it will never give up its nuclear weapons.
People in Venezuela have started voting in their presidential election. It's the first time in 14 years Hugo Chavez hasn't been on the ballot. He died of cancer in March. A $2 service fee for online passes to the 9/11 memorial at the World Trade Center site has angered some family of victims. While there is no charge to see the memorial, the museum says the fee is necessary to help support operations. This is NBC News Radio. Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida says a proposed immigration bill, which is expected to be introduced this week, won't offer amnesty to those who entered the U.S. illegally.
What we are doing is we are creating an alternative to that path that exists now. And quite frankly, it'll be cheaper, faster, and easier to leave and wait 10 years than it will be to go through this process that we've designed.
Rubio speaking on NBC's Meet the Press. Baseball and softball have joined forces in a bid to return to the Olympics. More now from NBC's Scott Walterman.
The International Federations of both sports today ratified a constitution to form the World Baseball Softball Confederation. The formation of a single sporting federation expected to improve the chances of both sports return to the Olympics for the 2020 Games. Baseball and softball have been out of the Olympics since 2008. They're competing against seven other sports for a spot in the Games. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
I'm Alex Witt, NBC News Radio.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Dow Industrials and the S&P 500 moved into uncharted territory last week with year-to-date gains that would look pretty good on an end-of-year statement.
If this was December 31st, we'd declare victory and say that was a pretty good year.
But PNC Wealth Management's Jim Dunnigan says it gets tricky now. Wall Street's intrepid explorers must rely on corporate earnings reports to guide them and determine whether they've been taking the market in the right direction. 10 of the 30 Dow stocks are scheduled to open their first quarter books in the coming week, including McDonald's, Microsoft, Johnson & Johnson, and General Electric.
So you will start to parse out the winners here, those that can continue to drive earnings, but particularly those that can demonstrate growth in revenue as well.
And outside forces could throw Wall Street off course. Susan Fulton of FBB Capital Partners thinks the North Korea threat bears watching.
If something happens, it will be a major cataclysm.
I'm Tracy Jahnke from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you have someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com. Home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
These days, everyone is looking for ways to save money. One idea is to get a free rate quote on your car insurance from GEICO. You could save 15% or more. It's a wonderful way to save money. And after that, if you're still looking for ways to save, here's another handy tip. To save money on clothing, do like me. Just don't wear any. And you'll also save money on dry cleaning.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
2 years ago, the people of BP made a commitment to the Gulf. I'm Fred Lamont, onshore site manager for BP. BP has paid over $23 billion in claims and cleanup costs. Today, the beaches and Gulf are open, and many areas are reporting their best tourism seasons in years. And BP is also committed to America. We support nearly 250,000 jobs and invest more here than anywhere else. We're working to fuel America for generations to come. Our commitment has never been stronger. Join the conversation on Facebook.com/BP America.
1190 AM, NBC News, and the best in specialty programming.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
Nine holes down and nine holes to play. It's the backside of the golfer's home. Here's your host, Stephen Gribben.
Golfer's home. 907. Playing some golf today, which will be probably a little bit more fun than yesterday. I don't know. Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
If you're Tian Lang Gwen, how cool is it? You play two rounds with Brent Crenshaw, and now you play, excuse me, and now you play with Sandy Lyle.
Chokes you up, doesn't it?
Wow. Keegan Bradley, even after three holes, shot 82 yesterday. Wow. You could have bet the house that Keegan Bradley was not going to shoot an 82 yesterday. You would have lost your house. Joining us now as he shoots 82 every weekend that he gets to play golf when he's home, he is the Golf Channel's own Rex Hoggard. Morning, Rexy.
Morning, Greb. What about betting the house on Phil shooting 77 yesterday? What was the line on that?
Or Rory shooting 79. I guess that one's happened before, so. Wow. Was it that hard yesterday?
you know, it's what they say about this golf course. It's not to not answer, give you a non-answer, but it's the easiest golf course if you're hitting it in the right places, and the hardest golf course if you're hitting it in the wrong places. And Rory said it yesterday. He wasn't controlling his golf ball. Phil said his iron play was absolutely horrible. If you're not quite sure where your miss is going to be, if you can't limit the damage here, yes, it was that hard of a golf course yesterday. They dialed up the speed, got it where they wanted to. It was
right. You know, I watch Tiger. You've watched Tiger for years, and I don't want to get this to be a Tiger Woods thing, but how does he not shoot 68 every single round on this golf course? It's designed so perfectly for him. I don't know how he doesn't win every single green jacket, and yet he doesn't.
You would have thought. I mean, the way he came out, you know, what did he win? 3 of his first 6 starts here as a
right.
professional. So, yeah, we've gotten into this before. Did they tiger-proof it in 2002? My guess is they probably made a little bit more friendly for the rest of the field, to be quite honest with you. I'm not sure that they did anything to take the advantage out of Tiger's hands.
Right.
I think yesterday and this week, he's been solid. He's put together some very, very solid rounds. The 15th hole on Friday notwithstanding, he just hasn't been spectacular. Now, he could very well be spectacular today and collect that 5th green jacket.
Odds of that happening?
I am not a betting man, but if we're just doing here frenzies, I'll actually give you pretty good odds on that one. Because I feel like if you look at the way he played yesterday, I love the fact that he had 3 solid birdies coming out of Amen Corner yesterday.
Right.
And that's what he's going to want to do today. I mean, everyone talks about getting off to a fast start. Well, I'm not quite sure if that's true in this situation. He can come out and par maybe 5, 6 of the first couple holes, pick up a birdie here and there, cut the lead, maybe to 3. Going to the back 9, yeah, I think he's got to love his chances going in the back 9. Not because of the guys in front of him, just because he knows what he's capable of. Goes back to the original comment. He can shoot 30 on the backside without blinking if he's on.
Right. All right, so here's the question. Let's have some fun for a minute, because God knows the last 24 hours has not exactly been fun. Excuse me. All right. We're going to name the following 8 guys. Snedeker, Cabrera, Scott, Leishman, Day, Kuchar, Clark, Woods. Put them in order of finish for tonight.
Snedeker, Cabrera, Scott, Leishman, Day. No. if I had to take some, like I said, I really like Tiger. I feel like that he's
you really do, one. Don't you? See,
I don't think he's going to win, though. I mean, let me.
No, that's my point. And if he was 3 shots back, I think he might have actually. I felt there was a chance he could win. I think that he could get in a playoff, perhaps. But I just think you've got Snedeker. Let's put Brand aside for a minute. You've got Cabrera, who just Cabrera could very easily shoot 69 again on this golf course. Cabrera is like Tiger is on this golf course. He disappears for years at a time, but you put him on Augusta, and he just can blindfold go out there and shoot 69 on this golf course. So you're talking, if he shoots 69, Tiger's got to shoot 63. That's not happening.
No, Tiger's got to get some help. Absolutely. And I don't mean to duck the question. I'll go ahead and do this. I think Brent Snedeker is going to win.
Okay.
And here's why. I mean, I asked him specifically yesterday after his round what he learned in 2008 when he entered the final round right there in the lead, shot a 77, got emotional, won over a lot of fans. He said he had no clue what he was doing 5 years ago.
Right.
He and Todd Anderson and Mac Barnhart with Crown Sports, they all have a clear plan of how Brant wanted to attack this golf course this week, and it has worked very, very well. And I think he gets it done tomorrow. I'm sorry, gets it done this afternoon.
You know, it's interesting you bring up Brant, because I was going to ask you about this. What is it about the media? I mean, he did. I'm sorry. I the line breaking down drives me batty. He didn't break down. He got emotional. Breaking down is having to be put yourself in a hospital. He got emotional about a round of golf that he felt he should have played better. And I the negative attitudes of the media is driving me batty. And unfortunately, a lot of it is coming from a place you work at. Do you really, in your wildest dreams, and I know you can't answer this because you work there, do you, in your wildest dreams...
Go ahead, Grip.
That's right. I mean, in your wildest dreams, do you really believe Nick Faldo would have withdrawn from this golf tournament for what happened yesterday? Not a snowball's chance in hell. And yet he's telling Tiger should withdraw?
Well, and I think once... I mean, this was always the danger, and I did some radio interviews yesterday morning, and Nick and Brandel got the camera turned on, and we didn't have all the facts. It's the danger of the world that we live in, the instant media, that we didn't have all the facts, that we hadn't received an official statement from Augusta National, that we hadn't had a chance to talk with Fred Ridley from the club about exactly what happened, that we hadn't got a chance to talk to Tiger Woods. I think when Nick and even maybe Brandel had a chance to hear all the facts. Look, I wrote this yesterday, and I truly believe it. Tiger made a mistake because he took a bad drop. And if he has a two-stroke penalty, and that's the way it should have played out. The club is the one that really should have got the two-stroke penalty.
Funny. I just said that before the break. That's exactly what I said. This is why I love having you on the show every week, because we think so much alike. You are exactly right. They made the mistake, not Tiger.
They reviewed the tape. They had gotten the call and Tiger was still on the golf course.
Right.
They decided that there was no violation at that time, so they whiffed that one. And then the bigger one is, you don't just mention it to Tiger before he signed his card. You don't walk in and say, hey, you know, we've got a thing. Let's go take a look at this. Of course you
right.
do.
Unbelievable. All right, so I do need to ask you this question because it is driving me a little bit batty, and maybe it's because of my 16 years in baseball. But don't you think that the end of the round should be when a guy signs his scorecard? You know, I we were talking before about the fact that a guy pitched a perfect game earlier this season and he lost it because of a bad call by an umpire, to the point where even the umpire went into the clubhouse after the game and apologized to the guy for the mistake he made. That's life. I mean, once you sign your scorecard, shouldn't it be over?
Well, it always has been. I mean,
no,
that's
not true. We've had guys disqualified the day after.
I see what you're saying. I thought you meant in this particular case. You know, as far as the rules of golf go, they're pretty clear. When you sign the card, it's over. And I know that things crop up after the fact, and people have started to call in. And that's why the USGA and the RNA changed the rule 2 years
right.
ago, that if a viewer sees something in high def that you could not have been able to see, you know, sitting there live watching it, they're not going to go back and disqualify that person. Now, in this particular case, I actually think we always sit here and we say the rules of golf are so esoteric and that they don't really have a lot of common sense sometimes, and that you don't really feel like the right thing happened. I know that the world probably is going to look at this very, very with a jaded light, but I think that the right thing actually happened.
Absolutely.
The committee made a bad call. They decided that, look, Tiger cannot be held responsible for this, for signing a scorecard, because we didn't bring this to his attention. I actually like the fact that, look, after the fact, they tried to make the right decision.
So you think it's okay? You know, could you imagine a Super Bowl, a guy coming, making a phone call on Sunday night after the game, and they look at the pictures and they go, wow, that did happen. So let's let the other team win the game now.
I don't know. If you saw an egregious bad drop, whatever the case may be, tomorrow when you're watching the morning drive on my channel and you call
right.
it in, do you not think whoever comes in second today wants everyone to sit down and maybe talk about this?
I don't know. What I love about sports, what I've loved about sports since my father took me to my first L.A. Ram game when I was 2 years old, is the fact that it's genuine. It is life. You know, people think about how conservative golf is, and yet, you know, golf is like every other sport. These guys, the percentages, parallel life. They parallel life. That's what sport is all about. It just brings it out on a much higher level because of the nature of that last putt and that last situation where I have to do it, and it shows real emotion. And I just think that I got issues with, you know, the club made a choice. not the club. The rules committee made a choice. They made a bad choice, but they made a choice, and I think it should have been over then. Now, the fact that they did that, it's fixed now, is great. I'm not denying he deserved the penalty. But I don't know. Once you sign your scorecard, I think you should be able to sleep at night. Just my opinion.
Again, I see where you're coming from, and I think a lot of people have a problem with viewers calling in, and this is, I mean, this is the acme of public scrutiny when so many people called in on this one. And, you know, there's always the conversation that we have in situations like this, that Tiger's always in the hunt, therefore he's always on TV. Therefore, it's really not an even playing field for him. I don't agree with that either. I feel like that's sort of the price of being number one and in contention at the Masters. I mean, there's worse problems in life than that. I see where you're coming from, but the important thing here, it's not up to the committee to protect Tiger Woods. It's up to the committee to protect the field. And if that means coming back the next day and going, you know what, we're not comfortable with this. And I don't know that any outcome's ever changed on a Monday. That I'd have a problem with. I don't think that's ever happened.
Well, no, because the rules say at the close of an event. Right, yeah. And the close of most competitions is different in different competitions. Some are when the trophy is handed. Some are when the checks are distributed. So it really is different depending upon that. But that is an actual rule, close of competition. So you couldn't go back to last year's event. I mean, I agree with that. All right, so you still haven't done it. So you think Snedeker wins. Who finishes second?
I think Jason Day finishes second. I really love him at this golf course. I'm not quite sure. After watching him finish bogey yesterday, if he's ready emotionally.
Right.
I hate to say that because I really like the kid. But
so do I.
You need to finish better than that. I mean, it's not about how you really start. You can start bogey, and life goes on. If you finish bogey, that's an indication that it's still a little shaky. I think he needs a little bit more time. I will say this, and I wrote this. I don't want to get on my high horse, but eight years ago, I wrote that Jason Day would be the Australian that broke the Aussie duck. Duck being the cricket 10-0, which is how many Australians have won a green jacket.
Right. Well, that's okay. 7 years ago, I wrote that Anthony Kim was going to be the next Tiger Woods. So,
how's that working out for you?
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, so you do have three Australians here. You know, you got to give some credit here. I mean, he's never going to get it, unfortunately. But Mark Leishman has just, with mirrors and needle and thread, he's really held himself together.
I'll tell you this. If Mark Leishman goes on to win this, it's going to be a long night for Rex, because I have not laid eyes on the man all week long. Between drop gauge and Ron beating a one-stroke penalty and everything else that's been going on, I don't know that I could pick him out of a lineup this week.
Just look for the biggest guy walking around.
The guy in the green jacket?
Exactly. Unbelievable. We're talking to Rex Hoggard from the Golf Channel. And you know, I know it's unfair to put you on the spot when it comes to things other guys say. But, I mean, Brandel Chamblee did have a chance last night to take back his statement and did, in fact, say, I've made my public comments and I'll just stick by those and let's go play golf now. So I still think that he's wrong, but that's just my personal opinion. Did you get to see any of Tim Clark yesterday, either on TV or on live? I mean, his 67 yesterday was unbelievably great.
I did. No, actually, I did watch quite a bit of Tim Clark yesterday, and I had a chance to talk to him after his round.
Good.
And I really had an interesting question I wanted to ask him, because, I mean, well, of course, we're locked in this long putter debate, which will probably start up again on Monday after we get through this week.
Right.
I mean, my question to him was, considering the fact that this is viewed by and large as the putting contest, did he consider himself a good putter? And he made a very, very good point that he kind of ducked the question, but he made a very good point that this is more a second shot golf course.
It is.
For him specifically, about making sure you put the ball in play off the tee and putting in the right sections for the green. Again, one of those situations, he's probably too far back. But anytime he puts himself into contention, you have to keep an eye on him like you do Tiger.
Right.
But because if Tim Clark is playing well, he can compete on almost any golf course. Don't let anybody fool you.
Right. Yeah, and you said it perfectly. I will say this, and I've said it publicly on other radio stations. I don't think I've even said it on my own show. But if you want to get the most rational understanding of the long putter issue and everything to it, Tim Clark is the guy to talk to because he really talks about it as intelligently as anybody I can imagine. Just, he's unbelievable about it. All right, so Adam Scott, he looked great yesterday. He played solid. You don't think he finishes in? You don't think he can win?
No, they still have putting at this competition, and that's always going to be suspect. And I mean, you talk about Tim Clark speaking well on the issue, and he does. He speaks very well on whether we're going to allow anchoring going forward or not. I think Adam Scott probably made the best point this year at the Rao when the Golf Channel sat down with him and Tim Clark, and he said that anybody thinks that the long putter is the magic wand and makes putting easy or mindless wasn't paying attention on that final nine last year at the Open Championship. And that's true. And I think those same demons are going to come back and get him today.
Interesting. It'll be interesting to see. You and I talked a couple weeks ago about the fact that I felt Ricky Fowler, it was time for Ricky to change caddies. If there's a caddy that you want at Augusta, he's on Adam Scott's bag, that's for sure.
Yeah, I like Stevie. I mean, he's been around this place. He knows what it takes to win. He doesn't quite have the same guy that he's had on the bag. And I don't mean to knock on Adam. He is a fabulous ball striker, and he's one of the game's genuine guys. But it is going to get tough coming down the stretch. You're going to have to start making birdie putts today. I mean, looking at the pin sheet, Augusta does it well because they know how to set up fireworks on the backside. And that's what we're going to end up. You're going to have to make those putts.
So what do you need to shoot to win today in your mind?
I think if you bring Snedeker another 70, 69 will do it. I mean, I don't see a guy going crazy low that's at the top of the board. I think some guys might make a run. There might be another 67 out there like Tim Clark shot yesterday. It'll be more about how things play out on the back nine. Once you get to aim in corner, how many birdies you can put up, how many mistakes you can avoid.
Right. Interesting. All right, I really appreciate you taking the time. I've kept you over this morning, but I thank you so much. I know how busy you've been the last 24 hours, Rex Hoggard, and I thank you for being a part of the Golfer's Home.
Anytime, Greg. Talk to you next week, bud.
I'll talk to you in the week. That's Rexy Hoggard from the Golf Channel giving us his insight, and I apologize publicly to him for asking him about other members of the Golf Channel staff. Next up, we'll get Uncle Ryan on the phone and find out what he thinks about what's going on. He'll always have his own opinion. That's next, the Golfer's Home, 1190 AM.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 for On the Flip Side of Real Estate with Rob Barney and Tim Lansford. Real estate advice from A to Z. Find it, fund it, fix it, and flip it to the flip side of real estate. Saturday mornings at 11, right here on 1190 AM.
Never play leapfrog with a unicorn. Never run with scissors unless you're a tardy barber. Never wear a fanny pack. No, really, don't ever wear a fanny pack. And never trust a car that hasn't been trusted to Midas. Save on brakes, maintenance, and total car care for a car you can depend on long after the warranty expires. You deserve the Midas touch. Get a comprehensive oil change, tire rotation, and visual brake check for $19.99. Up to 5 quarts conventional oil. Shop fees extra. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Quite often we find ourselves thinking, we should have done things sooner.
I love that we took this vacation.
I know. We should have done this a long time ago.
Sooner is just better than later. And now you don't have to wait till later to own the car of your dreams. Thanks to a surprisingly affordable certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. And with exceptional 1.99% financing on select models, now through April 30th, that dream is more attainable than ever. Each of our certified pre-owned vehicles undergoes an exhaustive process of analysis, inspection, and reconditioning until it meets the uncompromising standards of a Mercedes-Benz. Plus, every one is available with an optional extended limited warranty for up to 7 years or 135,000 total vehicle miles. And now, with 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. And your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz is available only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit today for exceptional financing.
Would you like to know how to become 3 times less likely to experience a home burglary? Mike Melton, president of Security Alarm Now, is here to tell us about that.
Statistics show that you're 3 times less likely to have your home broken into when monitored by a home security system. Right now, we're offering listeners a complete ADT security system free of charge when they call
1-888-520-9138.
You only pay $99 for the installation, and the monitoring is only about $1 a day.
That's really economical, especially when you're talking about the safety of your family. Are there any other offers for our listeners?
Yes, the next 20 people who call 1-888-520-9138 will receive a free upgraded to a voice keypad, which in the event of an emergency allows you to talk to the ADT dispatcher through your keypad. It will also include a $100 Visa gift card. Call 1-888-520-9138. That's 1-888-520-9138.
As many as 7.5 million Americans have psoriasis, and many of them suffer in silence, hiding their itching, flaking, and discomfort. If you're living with psoriasis, your new life begins now when you call for a risk-free trial of Seroderm. Seroderm provides fast topical relief of skin psoriasis. Seroderm helps to stop the itching, irritation, redness, and flaking caused by your psoriasis. Even if you've tried everything else, even if you've suffered for years, imagine living without discomfort and embarrassment and without wearing long clothes to hide your psoriasis. We're so confident you'll love your skin after using Seroderm that we're offering it risk-free. But you have to call now.
Just call 1-800-467-7912. That's 1-800-467-7912. Try Seroderm risk-free. Just call 1-800-467-7912. That's 1-800-467-7912.
Help people with disabilities in North Texas and their families by taking part in the Walk, Roll, Stroll, Saturday morning, April 27th in Addison, benefiting Ability Connection Texas. Find out more at walkrollstroll.org.
It's the Golfer's Home. It's 1190 a.m. On the golf course presently at Augusta National. Through six holes, Keegan Bradley even par. The only person under par is Ryan Moore, who shot 81 yesterday. He's one under, as now is Rhea Ishikawa. Rhea Ishikawa is one under on the day. So they are both seven over par. Phil Mickelson through three holes, eight over, even par on the day. Who would have thunk? Who would have thunk? Keegan Bradley, an 82. Phil Mickelson, a 76-77. Rory McIlroy, 70-79. Wow.
How's the kid doing?
He's currently one over par on the day through four holes. He's 10 over par. The only amateur to make the cut. How cool is that? All right, joining me now, as he does every Sunday morning, he is Mr. Ryan. How are you, Ryan?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
I'm good. So talk a little bit. You had yesterday the chance to kind of see stuff. I want to get just from the average golfer kind of input, a non-media guy, as I like to say, your feeling about what happened with Tiger Woods yesterday.
Well, I woke up. Of course, it's Masters week. You got to watch nothing but the Masters. Turn on ESPN. I hear him talking about it. And then, they go into the over-analyzing mode where it's just, just talk it to death. And that's what they did, for the next 3 hours. You asked what I thought about it. It's golf. It's the weirdest thing. There's rules there and obviously put in place. How long is the rule book?
The rule book I think is 34 pages, this little book. I don't remember exactly. I could be wrong about the number. I'll look it up. It's not the rule book that's the big deal. It's the interpretations of the rules that are about the size of my office.
Well, that's the problem, and it's an interpretation. So if you really look at it, and you get what kind of sport will change someone's score the next day? This is the only sport that I can even closely think of that's possible. Like an NFL game, you compare it to that. It's just, I couldn't even imagine that happening. So, for us to go back and change that poor kid's perfect game because the umpire, made a bad call. It drives me crazy. Here I am, the average golfer, the average fan of golf, and I don't know. It drives me nuts. The guys that made the call in the first place, in my opinion, is why, you know, what it should have stuck to. And, you know, you just say, well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the committee made a mistake. There's no question. And, and as Rex said in the last segment, the committee is the one that made the mistake. But then live with the mistake. You know, that's the thing.
Exactly.
There's 30, well, I knew there was 34 rules. The rule book itself is 181 pages.
Okay.
That little book is 181 pages. And it's, but there's 34. I knew the 34 was the rules. But, you know, it's just a situation where, and I appreciate you saying that from the average golfer standpoint, because in listening to SiriusXM yesterday and listening to as much as I could, not being on the air yesterday, so many people calling for Tiger to withdraw. I mean, you know, Brandel Chamblee, Nick Faldo, you know, all these guys, David Duval, telling Tiger he should disqualify himself. I mean, what is up with this world that's what it's come to?
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. I think that's overboard. That's over dramatizing everything. I don't, you know. I guess that's the media's job, right? To kind of give a little bit more drama than it really is. But I don't agree with that at all. I think that's crazy.
You know, and you're right. Unfortunately, we live in this world now that ESPN started, right or wrong, where 24/7 is 24/7, and you got to fill the hours, unfortunately. And it could have been so much fun yesterday to fill the hours with getting ready to do what happened yesterday, and then we have to fill it with a 14-year-old getting a penalty and the best known golfer in the world and one of the best known athletes being given a 2-stroke penalty, and then people talking about it and making comments before they know the whole story. That's the part that got me.
Yeah, no, agreed. And what's funny is, you know, watching it all morning, the slow play issue with Guam, that was only about 10 or 15 minutes. And slow play, you know, is, you know, one of the USGA's, you know, biggest pet peeves out there right now. And one of the things they really want to change, it almost makes you think maybe they did this on purpose, right? But I mean, I know that's not true. But just to go out there and penalize the poor kid when I was being told by some folks that I know that were there on Friday, and they were saying it was five and a half hour rounds all throughout.
No, Tiger was almost 6 hours.
See, that just drives me crazy that's the one that they, I guess, picked on. You know, just because he, you know, it's the first time the kid's played here.
I know it's hard, and it is hard, but unfortunately it is because it's the first time playing there, and he doesn't know the rules. And as I said earlier in the show, you know, I was told by a very strong inside source that he wanted to blame the players in Leon's group because they should have said something to him about understanding the 40-second rule, that there are ways around that too. But that's a long story, and who knows what's real or not real. All right, so the weather's changing. You're getting to play at all or not?
You know, I'm not. Unfortunately, I've got a little back injury and not able to even barely swing a club these days. So hopefully we'll be staying out. Just get to enjoy time with my 13-month-old son and just get outside and kind of play in the weeds.
We won't go into how you probably hurt your back, but that should be an interesting story for somebody. Talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, this is the start of the golf season for so many people around the country. And again, the reason I love talking to you is, as an average golfer, what has Augusta Week meant for you through the years of you playing this game?
You know, I didn't realize how big of a deal it was till I got the opportunity to go out there back in 07 and had the fortunate chance to do a Wednesday practice round and really just do a once over on the course. But for me, it was one of those I guess feelings. And what was really neat is I got to go with a supplier of mine that was about 50 something years old. He'd never been. This was his first chance.
Wow.
When he walked in, he literally started choking up. He started tearing up. It was, and I said, "What's wrong, Bill? What, you know, what's the deal?" He said, you don't understand how big of a deal this is. And that was a really cool thing for me to experience, to watch him. And I had taken it kind of for granted. And really growing up, wasn't a huge fan of golf. But for me to see that, it really, you know, it brought it up to a level that I just didn't understand how big of a deal the Augusta is, and then the tournament itself, and just everything about it. So it's now, since then, I've had two other opportunities to go, and it seems like every year I scratch my head and wonder why I didn't try to go again, because it's one of those things that you just absolutely love every second of the day that you're there, and it goes by, you know, in a flash. And it's a really, really cool thing. Now being a huge fan of golf and following it and understanding the game, when you are there, what's different is you don't get a chance to really watch much golf. It's one, it's crowded. Two, you're really stuck on one or two holes, right? So you don't,
right.
And you don't have your iPhone out sitting there following every single shot. So, you know, it's a different experience, but it's certainly a great one.
Yeah, I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show. We had Tim Cusick on, and Tim took his son, 12 years old, for his birthday to go. And, I mean, he said that he was on the golf course yesterday morning early when the gates first opened, and he didn't know until he got back to the to his car what had happened to Tiger. So, I mean,
oh, wow.
You're right. Because of the fact that the PGA Tour changed their rule this last year about allowing cell phones on the golf course, not using them, but having them, Augusta does not still allow you to have a phone. And so you go there, and you're there, and that's it. You do whatever it is you do, but you don't know what's going on in the rest of the world.
You know, I was this was a pretty neat moment for me, but I was with my brother, and we were sitting on 13 green when Phil Mickelson in 2010 hit it out of the pine straw. We got to see the shot. And about, I don't know if you remember this, but about 10 minutes later, Ryan Moore hits a hole-in-one on 16.
Correct.
Ryan Moore, so we're on the hole still. When he goes through, we hear a huge roar. You have no idea what the roar is. And, you know, we really honestly didn't know until we got home and watched the highlights. And that was what it was. So it's definitely different to not be able to have a clue really what's going on else, you know.
But there is a roar at Augusta maybe it's the way the golf course was laid out by Alistair McKenzie. I'm not sure. But there really is a roar at Augusta that when the roar comes up, you know what hole it's on, usually. And there's nothing like a roar at Augusta because everything is so closed in.
Yeah, especially 16.
Right.
They're on the par 3 next to it. It's just got that little kind of amphitheater type feel, and then they've got all of the folks that are on 15 as well on both sides. So there is just an incredible amount of people in one very small spot. And the way that whole that area is, where you've got 15 greens, 16 really tee box and green, and then you have 17 tee box, all really just right there. There's quite a few folks, but yeah, you're right. And I think obviously the excitement of Augusta and the crowds that are there, there's just huge roars.
Yeah, there really are. There's nothing quite like it. In the times you've been there, do you tend to do different things each time you go, or have you gotten to the place now where you just kind of do the same thing each time?
Well, I've done a Wednesday round, a Thursday, or I'm sorry, a Wednesday, a Friday, and a Sunday. So really, those 3 days alone bring kind of their own special, things to the fan.
Right.
Wednesday being a practice round, it's more casual. You really get a chance to just I walked the entire course. I mean, I didn't miss a foot of any hole. And Friday it gets obviously a lot more crowded, and people like to sit down at one or two holes, and that's where they park, you know, the rest of the day. But Friday, obviously, you get to see every golfer, and then Sunday you get to see the leaders and the top 60 or 70 or whatever, however many people it is. But the Sunday that I got to go, I did. I parked at Amen Corner, and I sat there all day.
Did Did you really?
Yeah, and that, in my opinion, is just a magical place because of the way it's set up and to be able to see so much action going on at one time, and then obviously the drama at 12, which is typically there with the water and such a small green. It's definitely an experience.
It really is. I mean, that is. There's no place like that anywhere in the world where you get. I mean, there are places where you can see three and four holes at a time, but there's just something about that Amen Corner that brings so much excitement. And literally, it's what that's the cool part about what McKenzie set up is that this is a golf course that you can be four strokes behind making the turn, and you can shoot 30.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, when you hit 12, really, if you walk out of 10, 11, and 12, or 13, sorry, and you're under par, that's going to set up for the next, you know, four or five holes to just, you know, like you said, to be kind of some fireworks there, and to really have a chance. You can be four under or four behind and still have a chance to do it. It's just quite a neat setup.
So again, your sense as a guy who just loves the game more than life itself, is this a thing where you'd like to see an Australian finally win the Masters, or is it Brant Snedeker breaking through, or is it Tiger Woods coming from behind finally to win a major championship? What will excite you today?
You know, I always like an underdog. Most average people do. I think having Snedeker just hang in there every day, and then seeing him a few years back just really give a great run at it. I would absolutely love it if he held in there today, you know, just really finished strong and won the thing. That would get me excited. Now, I do like Jason Day quite a bit. I still don't think he's ready. I think there's something about maybe it's just he's not mature enough in his own mind to just finish that strong. Obviously, we saw it in 17 and 18 yesterday. Bogey in both those holes after a really incredible round, very consistent round. But for him to do it, I certainly wouldn't be disappointed. But and I just think Snedeker that'd be pretty neat to watch him. He's certainly a fan favorite.
Interesting. And then you have all of South America rooting for Angel Cabrera to do this again. You know, it's amazing. And I know you love playing like at Cowboys, and you could go to Cowboys blindfolded and play great rounds of golf. The same is true with Angel Cabrera at Augusta. He could be playing the worst golf on the planet, but he gets to Augusta and somehow he finds a game.
There's something about, this may come out bad, there's something about a golfer playing an American Super Bowl of golf that can't speak English. Oh, something about me, it drives me crazy.
it's that conservative side of you. It's the conservative side of you.
just give me a few words, right? But I really like watching him play golf. I really do. He's quite the figure and definitely has a presence there, and obviously he loves that course, but. I mean, it got to be ranked, 200 something now? I'm not even sure where
it was 270, I think. But and the deal is that he can speak English. So I do want to say that publicly. He does speak English. He gets very nervous, and that's why he doesn't like doing it in press conferences. But he does speak English, and he actually speaks it pretty well. But anyway, all right, so you go have fun. You play with the baby and watch the final round of Augusta and the final nine holes and see what ends up happening. I thank you so much for joining us this morning here on the Golfers Home, Ryan.
You got it. Have a good day.
You too, bud. Next up, we'll update you on the board. We'll give you the tee times one more time and some final thoughts heading into the final round of the 2013 Masters Championship at the Augusta National Golf Club. I'm Stephen Griffin. It's the Golfers Home, 1190.
If you were to win $50,000, you could make your wildest fantasies come true. You could go to Secret Agent Spy School and become the next 007.
Pleased to meet you, Mr.
Puffkin. Skeeter Puffkin.
Or I suppose you could use it for something boring like paying your mortgage.
But before any of this happens, you have to win $50,000. So listen up and find out how. Be listening for the cue to text keyword. When you hear it, text that keyword to 36500 to get registered. You'll win $1,000 just for qualifying for the 50K. And that ain't bad. It's an ultimate iHeartRadio experience. Winning $50,000 to waste on whatever you want. It's like finding a whole bunch of change under a couch cushion. A gigantic couch cushion. So get your texting thumb ready for action and keep it here for the keyword that could make you 50 grand happier. Good luck.
Are you still just scraping by, barely making ends meet, or even going deeper in debt to stay afloat? For months, maybe years, you've been hearing about people who took control of their lives and changed them by getting into the computer industry at My Computer Career, the professional IT learning center. You've heard how they gained key certifications, got better jobs, and made more money as IT professionals. Now the question is, when are you going to join them? Start today by going online to MyComputerCareer.com and taking our free career evaluation at My Computer Career. You'll receive hands-on classroom training with certified expert instructors and career advisors to guide you into your new career. If you're sick and tired of just getting by, then get into the IT industry today. Take the free career evaluation at MyComputerCareer.com, and in 3 to 6 months, you can be our next success story. MyComputerCareer.com.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Bernadette, owner of Adrift Float Spa. Did you know that stress is one of the major contributors of high health care costs? As Arianna Huffington reported in a recent CNBC interview, stress is prevalent in corporate America and affects negatively our productivity as a nation. Corporate America needs to be paying attention to stress reduction. Floating or flotation therapy is learning and experiencing what it feels like to truly relax. What are the benefits of floating? Decreased stress, nervousness, and anxiety. Decreased muscular aches and pains, improved concentration, memory, and mental focus, increased energy and performance, enhanced quality of sleep, and a general overall sense of well-being. De-stress your employees. Call Adrift about our corporate packages at 214-363-5628. That's 214-363-5628, or visit us at AdriftFloatSpa.com.
Police Department, Texas Department of Public Safety have now canceled the Amber Alert that had been issued for Summer Brown. According to DPS officials, the child has been recovered and is safe. Again, Cedar Hill and Texas Department of Public Safety canceling the Amber Alert for Summer Brown. We now resume normal programming.
The Golfers Home, 1190. Here is my commitment to you. Next Sunday, we will announce our first golf outing of the year. Next Sunday. So stay tuned for that. And we're going to start sending emails on a regular basis again now that we are doing this show on a regular basis. We know we are, and we'll have some other announcements for you down the road. Pretty excited about that. So the tea times look like this. You like my new office?
I like your new office.
That's the voice of John Hendry. He is my engineer extraordinaire. So how long has it been? You used to do HP football.
I still do.
You still
produce it.
You produce it.
On 1190.
On 1190.
Right.
If you need an announcer, I know a guy.
Ah.
140, Angel Cabrera, Brant Snedeker. 130, Mark Leishman, Adam Scott. 120, Jason Day, Matty Kuchar. 110, Tim Clark, Tiger Woods. How cool would it have been if Stricker had played with Tiger Woods today? They're one behind each other because at 1 o'clock, Ricky Fowler and Steve Stricker tee off.
I'd like to see Angel Cabrera and Tiger Woods.
They won't talk. That wouldn't talk. It wouldn't
help.
It'd
be funny.
Oh, it would be funny for sure. But there's no funniness on Sundays. I can promise you that. All right. So it looks like this right now. You've got about 15 guys on the golf course. Tianlang Guan is 3 over through 6 holes. He is 6 over par. He is 12 over on the tournament, tied with Keegan Bradley through 7 holes. Sandy Lyle is even par. He's 10 over. Keegan Bradley, even par through 8. He's 12 over. Scott Percy, he is 9 over, 3 over through 3. Oh, Keegan Bradley playing with a chaser. How cool is that? At least I assume he's playing with a chaser. They normally don't let you go out alone. How would you like to be that guy? How would you like to be called the night before and say, hey, would you mind playing with Keegan Bradley and lead off the golf course, the final round of Augusta National?
Bubba Watson did well with the chaser yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He did very well. Peter Hansen is on the golf course. He's 1 over. John Peterson is 1 over. John Patterson is 1 over. Carl Peterson is even par through 7. Then you got the under par guys. Rhea Ishikawa is 1 under on the day. Ryan Moore is 1 under on the day. Phil Mickelson, 1 under on the day through six. He is 7 over par. And Michael Thompson, 1 over on the day. He is 6 over par. There were some big rounds yesterday, folks. Boy, did they change the greens yesterday. You know, you thought the big rounds would be Saturday, Friday because of the rain and everything. No, the big rounds were yesterday. I mean, you listen to these scores. You got Keegan Bradley, 82. Sandy Lyle, which Sandy, I think, is 104 years old. Still one of the great guys in the game of golf. He shot 81. David Lynn shot 80 after shooting 68 in the first round. Shot 80 yesterday. Ryan Moore, 81. Michael Thompson, 79. Rory McIlroy, 79. He is even par through the first hole, and he is playing with Trevor Immelman. They are both at 5 over par. Currently tied for 44th. There were 61 players who made the cut at the cut, top 50, and within 10 strokes of the lead. Those are the guys. Some other guys who just shot themselves out of the tournament. Trevor Immelman had shot 68 in the first round, came back with 75, 78. That's really it. Dustin Johnson, he shot 67 the opening day, then shot 76, 74. I don't know what it is about Dustin. You would think this golf course would be perfect for him, but it is not. Again, as Rex Hoggart said, you got to putt the ball at least half the time. And it just is hard to putt at this golf course. You got to know how to do it. So that's the way it looks. CBS starts. Let me get that time for you. So you've got it. I want to get all the information for you. I'm not sure what time they start. What time they start there?
2 o'clock, isn't it?
I think it's 2, but I'm not positive. And I want to double check it, and I can't find it anywhere, unfortunately. Don't ask me why I can't find it. So we'll look that up for you and get that. But you can also listen on, you can go to masters.com and watch live. Their live stuff is as good as anybody's anywhere. You get your choices between a couple of featured groups. You can watch 15 and 16. You can watch Amen Corner. It's so cool to watch it all. And then Sirius XM, PGA Tour Radio, Global Sports is doing the broadcasting. And you can get all that that information there. The schedule for today looks like this.
1 o'clock.
CBS.
1 o'clock.
Starts at, I've got it here, Sunday. 1 to 6. 1 to 6 on Sunday. I don't know.
And a Jim Nantz special at noon.
Of course. There was a special yesterday on the Augusta that I didn't get to see, the 16 playoffs. I taped it. I want to see what that's like. I can't wait to watch that. And then the radio broadcast starts at 1 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. our time. So you can check it out on Sirius XM, the Masters Radio, or you can also watch the live streaming at masters.com. There's thousands of ways to watch the final round of the Augusta National Golf Course and to watch the Masters. This has been so much fun. I'm exhausted. I admit it. I haven't slept trying to get these stories down and out and making sure I tell the right story. That's the most important thing, folks. I try to not be wrong. I want to make sure I do the right thing before I say anything about anything. And that's why I waited yesterday. I had two radio interviews on Saturday morning, both of which I said I'm not sure of what actually happened with Tiger Woods. And we'll find out, and then we'll let you know. It's just a situation where things happened. They always happen in the game of golf, and that's what's the greatest part of this game. I hope you'll go out and play, because there is nothing better than playing golf. Nothing, folks. Get out and play. The weather's changing. Everything is great. Get out and play. You know, you can tape the final round, do whatever you want, but let's start playing golf because it's time. I'm Stephen Gribben for John Hedrick, for everybody, for Ben back at the studio, everybody else. Thanks so much. It's the Golfer's Home. It is 11:90 a.m. We'll talk to you next Sunday as the tournament moves back east. Bye-bye, everybody.
KFXR Dallas, with all the top news and business stories of the day. It's all on 1190 AM.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or Clear Channel Communications.
The following is a paid advertisement by Purity Products. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Hello and welcome once again to Healthline. I'm your host, Pat Campbell. We are sponsored by the fine folks at Purity Products. We've got another fascinating show lined up for you today. Are you concerned about your cardiovascular health? What about your skin and joints? Is your energy sagging? Well, if any of these things sound familiar to you, then you're going to want to stay.